and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, it's Ariel, and...
me, Raylene, slash Ruben.
Woo! Ruben! Ruben's in the house!
He's back! She's back! Man. I don't know.
They're non-binary. Ruben, I feel like Ruben is a perfect, androgynous name. It can be either gender or no gender. Everyone, welcome to the podcast. We're excited to be here, back in my car.
really great audio set up.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, first of all, I implore you to do so. It was a fun one. We were very chatty. Mm-hmm.
We just chatted. We barely talked about books at all, but it was so much fun.
Yeah, it was a good life update. But yeah, if you missed it, I have just moved houses and I don't have any furniture. So my house is so echoey, but also, like, because we're not, like, basically nobody is using the upstairs of my house right now, Raylene, except for my brother, who is the only genius to bring a desk. I sold my desks because I knew I didn't want to keep them long term, and the less that you can travel with, obviously, the better. But he kept his desk, like the smart man that he is, and so he's the only person in the house who's actually using his room. But we're all camped out. He doesn't have a bed, though. So we're all camped out downstairs and on air mattresses in one room so that we can have one space heater plugged in so that we don't die of the cold at night because of my, we can't all have our own space heaters. That would be far too much for this electrical system, really. Anyway,
I love your crazy little adventure.
Yeah, as you can imagine from what I just said, it's not conducive to recording in the house right now, so...
No. So the car it is.
The car it is. But I'm excited for today's episode. We have a bunch of stuff to get through. We have a book haul. I have so much book news. I have an activity.
My God. And I've read many books.
And that's what I was going to say. And actually, Raylene has read books. I have not read books. I'm going to be honest with you. But we'll talk about that when we get to the activity.
Yep.
All right. So let's start with Raylene. Of the books you have read recently, which ones do you want to shout out? Are there things you want to mention?
Yeah. Got a couple of shout outs. So I'll quickly just shout out that I did read Before the Coffee Gets Cold Toshikazu Kawaguchi, which I won't get too into because we haven't recorded our book club episode yet, which we will be doing shortly, so everybody stay tuned for that. But this book, cool. It was a good book. I'll give you that much. I liked it. I did enjoy it, so that'll be a nice change. We've had some bad luck with our book club books. Obviously Dig we both enjoyed, but I'm glad that I also really liked this one, so I'm excited to talk about it. Also, okay, the next book is kind of a big deal.
Oh, my God.
I read The Fellowship of the Ring by J.R.R. Tolkien.
Pardon?
I listened to the audiobook, which is what helped me make my way through this massive, slow book.
Have you read it before?
I read the first half of this when I was, 16 or 17, and then I got bored as soon as they were, at the round table with elves. I was like, I am so bored by this conversation. And so I stopped reading it, and then I never picked it up until recently. Okay. But I got the audiobook, because it's on Scribd, or whatever you want to call that app. I still don't know if we're saying it right. but I got it on there and listened to it, and it was great. I really enjoyed it. It is very much, a slow kind of, I might say boring in some parts. I'm definitely willing to admit that it's not the most exciting book of all time. Totally. But it ends kind of on a cliffhanger. So I'm really excited to get into book two.
Wow.
And I have seen the movies once. I've only seen the movies all once. So I'm such a Lord of the Rings noob. So there is a lot that kind of
strange because you're such a big fantasy person.
I know.
So you bizarre. Yeah. Anyway, that's so exciting, though. Keep going.
I really enjoyed it. And The Two Towers was my favorite movie, which I know is kind of a controversial opinion. Most people love either the first or the third. I just loved it. There was just something about it that was so good.
Helm's Deep. There's a lot of Legolas. A lot of Legolas action.
Oh, yeah. That could be it. And the funny thing is, I've only seen it once, so I don't really remember why I loved it so much. I don't remember the plot of the second one, but when I start reading it, I'll be like, oh, yeah. So I'm really excited to get into book two. And I know that obviously the third one will be, very epic and you know, very grand. So that'll be fun to get to as well. I feel like this one is very much an introduction. There's a lot of singing in this book, which I don't know if that carries through the rest of the series, but there is a lot of moments. And since I listened to the audiobook, I was just listening to this old British man just like singing for minutes upon minutes, which was kind of fun. Yeah, there was a couple of good songs in there. Tom Bombadil is pretty hilarious.
couple hits yeah, singles. Like,
it was funny because I'd be listening to it in the car and sometimes I'd be kind of dancing along to the guy singing because it, like, sometimes it had a really good rhythm to it.
I love that, like J.R.R. Tolkien obviously is basically the founder of modern fantasy, like the ways that we think about fantasy. But if you think about what obviously there was some proto-fantasy that was coming before what he was doing, but everything that was coming before, if you think about what novels were beforehand, they were so slow and long and almost tedious. It makes perfect sense that his version of fantasy would be a lot slower than the kind of action-packed stuff we're used to. But I'm sure that you're already seeing how many of the things he does there are completely foundational to all of the fantasy that's come afterwards.
Absolutely.
I remember studying Lord of the Rings a lot in my... I did this really cool fantasy and fandom course in university. And we talked a lot about, like, about Tolkien and stuff. But also, my dad is a massive, massive Lord of the Rings fan. In the way that, like, we grew up with Harry Potter being this big part of our lives, Lord of the Rings was this massive deal for my dad. And he's like, he told me that by the time he, like, had met my mom, which I guess was, like, when he was, like, around 30, he had read the series, or the trilogy, 13 times.
Whoa.
He's, like, obsessed with it and has read the, like, Cimmerillion and the, like, other additional books and stuff. And it's actually one of, it's really cool because it's one of those really beautiful memories I have where the first movie came out in 2001, right? Imagine those huge franchises starting in 2001.
If it was both 2001
Yeah, I think Spider-Man came out then too.
All of the best movies came out.
Yeah, I would put all those three on equal footing for sure. Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. But yeah, like, my family went and saw the Lord of the Rings movies at the movie theater, and I remember being like, I would have been like 6 or 7, right? And we went and saw all of the movies as they came out, like, twice at the movie theater. Amazing. Like, the way that we were excited to go to the midnight premieres for the Harry Potter movies is how excited my dad was to see the Lord of the Rings movies. And so I have such a strong attachment to Lord of the Rings. I read the first 2.5 books when I was like 12.
Wow.
And then my reading taste obviously went in a non-fantasy direction.
Right. Yeah, makes sense.
Anyway, I'm just so excited you're reading it. That's so, so cool.
Yeah.
All right, you have a lot more to get through.
I do have a few more. Yeah. Okay, so, and actually talking about Lord of the Rings just reminded me of one that I forgot I read. Like, I literally forgot about it, and it's such a big deal. And that is Ready Player 2 by Ernest Cline. I read it.
Wait, what? Really? Yeah. You are so full of surprises today.
I know. Like, I'm just doing it all. I'm doing everything.
Well, it can't be good if you forgot about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I got it from the library on audio, which is how I, like, got it and listened to it so quickly and so silently. Like, I didn't tell you about it because I was like, oh, this will be good for the podcast. And I'll give it this. It is fun, just like the first book is fun. Okay. But it was so goddamn unnecessary. Like, this book did not need to happen. It doesn't add anything in terms of character development. The world hasn't really expanded much at all. Like, basically, the premise of the book is that, obviously, at the end of Ready Player One, Wade wins. And so he's now a multi-billionaire. And he's running this company with his friends and all that stuff. So that's kind of the main thing. But then they discover yet another quest that's been hidden in the system, in the Oasis, by James Halliday.
That's so cringe.
It is very cringe. And so it just takes you on this other journey. And the funny thing is, like, they now need to find 7 shards in the system, which is the thing they're looking for. And it's just, like, it makes no sense the way that they find them. Like, Wade spends 3 years trying to find one by himself, and he can't do it.
Whoa.
And then suddenly the stakes are very high, and they have, like, 12 hours to find the rest. And can you guess what happens? Like, I'm not trying to spoil the book, but, like, it's just so, it's all so obvious. Like, you just know what's going to happen.
Damn.
And it's just, everything is too convenient. Like, it doesn't, it's not realistic in any way. And, which sucks because the new, like, basically they discover a new technology, which I won't get into because it's cool to discover it for yourself. But it's something that, like, makes the Oasis a little bit more interesting and a little bit cooler and more enticing for people to go into. So it, that kind of aspect of it is interesting. Because it's like, do people really need more of a reason to be living in this virtual reality? Right. I don't think so. But so it is kind of interesting in that way. But it's just very much a plot book. You know, you don't learn more about the characters. Nobody grows or changes. Right. And that's kind of just that. So it was disappointing, to say the least. But it was fun.
So did you give it like a 3?
2, man. Okay. It was going to be a 3 for the first half, but then it just got so tedious towards the end because it's just the same thing happening over and over again. So, yeah, it just, it let me down.
I really, really hope that there are some people out there who love this book, and I'm sure that there will be some people out there who love it, but what you just said is almost word for word exactly what I've heard other people say. So it seems like this is kind of a consensus. Like, I've heard people saying that it's completely unnecessary. The plot is very, like, recycled from the first one and very convenient, doesn't add anything, just didn't need to happen. And the other thing that for me that I'm, like, not surprised is because Armada was such a mess when I read Armada. Did you read Armada?
Oh, yeah. No, I skipped over that one because I heard so many bad things about
it. So that's kind of, for me, I was like, okay, maybe Armada was rushed because obviously Ready Player One, I don't think anyone thought it was going to be the success that it was, and it completely deserves it. I love Ready Player One. The year that I read it, I think was 2012. It became my favorite book. Like, it was my favorite book of that year. I loved it so much. But
yeah.
Then obviously Armada came out and I was like, maybe he just had to rush it because of how how successful the first one was.
Yeah, that's very possible.
But this one he didn't rush, you know? That's sad.
Didn't need to do it at all. He could have taken his time probably. And I remember, didn't we talk about this before, that it's already been optioned for film as well?
Oh,
so this will probably be a movie. Like, to be fair, it'll make a cool movie, just like the first one was a cool movie, you know, like it's a fun thing to watch. It's what I like about the franchise, I guess, is that it can get people who aren't really into reading into reading, just because, you know, people who love video games will love these books, and that's totally fine. I think that that's a cool thing in itself.
I agree, actually. I think you're right, and that is an important type of book that we need. Books that are really accessible and people generally enjoy. And I think we're coming at it from an angle of, like, we read a lot of books and we loved the first one so much, high expectations, but
it's like the sequel should be something different from the first one, not just the same thing. Yeah. We have higher expectations for sequels. Mm. Although I will say, I don't think there'll be a third one based on the way it ended. It seemed kind of, it seemed very final. Like, there's the possibility that it could happen, but he ended it in a way that it could just end there. Okay. So I hope there won't be a third one because it really doesn't seem necessary. Yeah. I hope that he just, you know, write something else. I feel like this franchise is, could have been just one book and that would have been fantastic.
Yeah.
But I will say something else that's fun about this book is the references. Like, obviously there's lots of pop culture references in the first one and same with the second one, but there's a lot more anime references, which I was like, he's kind of like, you know, reaching out for the anime fans. So
cool.
There are mentions of Sailor Moon. I really enjoyed that.
Ooh, Usagi. Well, okay, I'm very sad to hear that because, you know what? You always wish for the best, especially when the first book you loved. But it's okay. It's okay. What else did you read? What giant surprise are you going to tell me next, really?
Well, my next book, which will be the last one I'm going to talk about today, is Beartown by Frederick Bachman, which I read in 2 days.
Wow.
This was the most recent pick for my In Real Life book club, and I've been meaning to read it for a long time anyway, so I was like, oh, perfect. And I just finished listening to Ready Player 2 the other day, and so I was like, oh, I need a new audiobook, and so I got Beartown on audio, and then I started cross-stitching like a mad woman and playing Mario Kart like a crazy person, and so I finished it in 2 days. Like, I just spent my weekend basically reading this book, and it was really good. Like, I really enjoyed it. I'm planning on jumping right into the second book because I don't want to I don't want to forget about the characters. I don't want to lose anything in that experience. But for those who don't know, this book, and I guess this duology, takes place in a very small town in the forest. And it doesn't exactly say where it is, but I'm guessing it's still somewhere in Sweden because
probably
just because of references they make and because Fredrik Backman's books are all set in Sweden. but yeah, so it takes place in this really small town that is obsessed with hockey. So this is very much a sports book. Like it's not just sports isn't just like on the fringes of the book. Like the whole thing is just engrossed in hockey. Everybody is obsessed with hockey. There's, you know, adult characters that are, you know, either the general manager of the hockey team or their coach of the hockey team, parents of the kids who are on the hockey team. And then there's also parts that, you know, are told through the perspectives of all the kids on the hockey team and people who know them. So it's all about hockey. Right. And so that, first of all, I thought that that would turn me off because I don't really like hockey. So I was kind of scared that it was going to be too much hockey for me. And it was a lot of hockey, but I did still enjoy it because it's very much about the people and the small town dynamics and, you know, kind of the small town politics of being obsessed with the hockey team and that kind of being the only thing that matters. Because another aspect of the book is someone, I won't say who for spoilers, but someone is sexually assaulted in the book. And then it's kind of all about how the town reacts, you know, how they choose to believe one person and not the other person, accuse someone of lying because they're trying to hurt the hockey team, all this kind of garbage, you know? And it was very interesting. It was like hard to read. It makes you angry. It makes you sad because it's like, I can't believe people behave like this, but people do behave like this.
Right.
And, you know, it's the whole small town thing and, you know, sports culture, whatever. So it was just like an infuriating book, but really good. Like he wasn't afraid to make it like kind of this infuriating book, like I said. So I really enjoyed it. And I mean, it was a tough read, so I don't recommend it to everyone, but I think it was really good. And if you're open to a sports book, which I know you are, you like your sports books.
I weirdly do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I would definitely recommend this to you. And I'm really excited to jump into the second one because I've only read one other Fredrik Backman book, and that was A Man Called Uwe. Obviously, this one is completely different, which I liked, kind of seeing him go in a different direction because a lot of his other books are kind of similar to that one from what I can tell. This one, like, I wouldn't even been able to detect that it was by the same writer, which was super interesting.
That is
like
cool.
He just did something completely different, and it was like, okay, all right. So yeah, really enjoyed that.
That's so interesting.
So I read a bunch of random books.
You had such a successful reading week. That's really, really cool. I'm proud of you. Raylene, I'm proud of you. What can I say?
Thanks, man.
I haven't read anything. not a
single
thing.
That's fine.
Things have been wildly just chaotic, and there's literally just nowhere for me to sit down and read right now. Like, there's just, it's just not the time. But let's transition into talking about what we're currently reading.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's time for my activity, Raylene. It's time
for my activity. Okay, yeah, bring it on.
So I am not currently reading anything, really.
Okay,
because,
yeah, I predicted
that. because just things have been so chaotic. I am almost finished Before the Coffee Gets Cold. But that kind of feels like separate to what I'm currently reading because it's for the book club.
Totally.
But I'm not currently reading anything for pleasure or just for myself. And so I thought I would leave it up to you. Similar to how you've gotten me to pick what book you're going to read next, but I'm going to do it with just a little bit of a twist.
Okay, bring it on. I'm ready.
The twist is, Raylene, pick which one of the books I've started this year I should finally finish.
Oh my gosh. Do you have a list for me?
I do have a list. I think I'm missing a couple here, but let me say them. So first we have Catelyn Moran's More Than a Woman. That was the audiobook I was reading and really enjoying. Mm-hmm. Beautifully Foolish Endeavor by Hank Green. You know, one of my most anticipated books of the year. Okay. Writers and Lovers by Lily King, which I was also loving and literally like recommended on one of our recommendation episodes, but haven't finished. Next Year for Sure, which, do you remember that one? It was the polyamorous one.
Yeah, I remember all of these.
And then Midnight Sun by Stephanie Meyer.
Oh, you never
Mayer.
Finished that? Oh my god, this is so eye-opening. Wow.
The list is tremendous. The list is bad. It's a damning, damning list. That's all the ones I can think of. Do any come to mind that I may have not mentioned?
The Dreamers, is that what that one was called?
Yes, The Dreamers. The Dreamers.
Okay, that was
right.
One. I remember your pandemic book. Were there any other pandemic books you started? I don't think so.
I don't think there were other ones that I started and didn't finish, but okay. You know.
Well, you know, this decision is really easy for me.
Oh, really?
Because yeah, very easy actually. I thought it was going to be hard.
Oh wait, I just remembered it. I remembered another one that okay, I'm not going to let you pick because I don't want to finish it, but it's The Ballad of Songbirds and the Snakes.
Oh, you don't want to finish it at all?
Maybe someday, but not right now. And I also there's also the Frida Kahlo biography.
Oh my god, it keeps
I have
on
problems.
Going. Okay, well, listen, this is going to be easy for both of us because I think you should finish the Hank Green book. Like,
okay.
Obviously. Yeah.
All right.
Like, that's going to bring you joy. I literally thought you finished it because you talked about it a few times and, like, I don't know. I just thought you already done it. So, like, I think you should definitely read that. It was probably your most anticipated release.
Yes.
As far as I can tell. So, I think that you should finish it. Yeah.
Okay. That's a great pick. I'm very excited by that pick. I'm going to have to find it because I literally don't know where it is in my house, but it's somewhere and I have a general gist of an idea. It's in a box packed away, so this is my official TBR challenge. I am going to be trying to finish that book for the next time we record and do an update episode. So 2 weeks from now, I should be finished. Oh, come on. Come on, Ariel. You can do that. I can do that.
You can do it. I believe in you. Like, how far into it were you? Do you remember?
I was past half, I think. So I should be able to.
No problem. Yeah. Give yourself some time. Give yourself a couple of hours, you know. You can read. Give yourself a break, man.
Well, now you know what I'm currently reading, sort of. What are you currently reading?
Yeah. Well, I think you'll be excited to hear that I am reading Lost at Sea by John Ronson.
I am excited to hear. Tell me more.
Yeah, I was just, yeah, like, because I was listening to Beartown on audio the past couple of days, and I was just like, oh, well, I want something, you know, I want to stop listening to my audiobook for a little bit. I just want to read something. And so I went to my shelf and just stared at it for a good few minutes, as one does. And I was like, what the hell? I'm going to pick a book that I've had for a while that I really want to read. Like, I love John Ronson.
Yeah.
I absolutely love him. And I feel like it's kind of a, you know, a good classic mashed potato situation where I'm like saving this book because I know that I'm going to enjoy it and it's John Ronson. So I know it's going to be just delightful. And actually I have one other John Ronson book on my shelf too, that I'm doing the same thing with. And I'm just like, I'll read it when the time is right. And I feel like the time is right now. I'm ready for it. And I've only read the first 24 pages. So I've only, because basically this one is a collection of shorter essays. There's a lot more essays in this than maybe not a lot more, it feels like more, but he just kind of has essays about random weird things. And so it's kind of an all over the place kind of book. Like the first essay
so
is
not just,
it's
not just one topic.
No, it's kind of all over the place. Like the first essay is about Insane Clown Posse, which is this rap duo, and it's just like he interviews them and like just talks about them a bit, and I was like, holy shit, I've never heard of these. Like, I've heard the name, but I didn't know anything about them, and so I was like, well, now I know that about them. And then the second one, which I'm now reading, is about like he's just interviewing a robot. Like, there's someone who created an AI, and John Ronson's sitting down with this robot talking to it, and it's so funny. It's like,
wow.
It's just such a strange little collection. So I don't know what's gonna come next, but yeah,
cool.
It's interesting and strange and comical, as all John Ronson books are. You know, he is just a hilarious guy, so it's super fun. So yeah, I haven't read much, but I definitely hope to have read more by the next time we talk.
That's really exciting. Like, I've read, obviously, So You've Been Publicly Shamed. That was the first one I read. Absolutely one of my favorite books of all time. Then I read The Psychopath Test, and I really did enjoy it, but I didn't think it was as good as So You've Been Publicly Shamed.
Yeah, I had the same experience.
And then I haven't read anything else by him, but I did buy Lost at Sea. I own it, and I got it, like, discounted somewhere. I think I got it for, like, literally $4 or $8, you know what I mean?
Wow.
You know when they have the little black permanent marker mark at the bottom? What does that mean again?
Remaindered.
So is that just, like, overstock?
Yeah, it's usually books that, you know, like, you can get some really cool popular books that have just been remaindered because they, like, say, ordered too many copies at the bookstores or whatever. Mm. Like, I don't really exactly know the system, but yeah. I've ordered many remaindered books, so I know that you can get them lots of places.
Yeah, lots so places. I think it
mine was
like
a used copy.
Yeah, I think it was a remaindered copy or something like that. And I just got it really cheap. And I was, like, so excited when I found it because it was, like, in great condition. And I was like, oh, my God, this is perfect. And then just like you, I've been saving it. I don't know why. So if you
it's
like
because
it,
we love John Ronson yeah, so much. Actually, exactly. We should tell a funny story. You and I have been playing Stardew for the past little while, and
oh my God.
we decided to make our farm. It's just like a general because we love making a theme, right? Like it's so fun to have a theme on your farm. Our theme is just books. Our farm is called Powell's Farm, and so when we're naming our animals and things, we can name them any book related thing we want. And so the first cow we got, Ariel named it John Ronson. Which is still my favorite thing we did on that farm. It's just so funny. Every time I go to say hi to him, it's like, yep, John Ronson is happy today. That's my favorite thing. Oh, I can't believe we hadn't talked about that yet.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up. Speaking of Stardew Valley, Raylene, for her birthday, I got Raylene a Stardew Valley tote bag, and she's gonna post that on the Instagram, where it's where she was keeping her books for this episode, actually. Not your Instagram, I meant the Books Unbound Instagram.
Yeah, it's actually full of my book haul.
Yes.
So
yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that. Everyone go check that out because I want it. And I was like, if I want it, maybe Raylene will also want it. And I know you've got like some pretty cool tote bags. I thought that would be a good addition to the collection.
Absolutely. It's very cute. It's a Pierre's General Store bag and it's got a little Junimo clip on it.
Yeah.
So for those who know, you know, that's pretty cool.
All right. Do you want to do your book haul now or shall we do book news first?
Let's do book news. Let's save my book haul for
okay. After. Well, welcome to book news, everyone. Let's go. So I actually have quite a lot of book news today, and Raylene and I were a little chaotic, and she hadn't gotten her book news, and I was like, Raylene, don't even. I've got so much. I'll just do the book news today. So
I feel like this is the new theme. This has happened twice in a row.
It keeps happening,
yeah. Oh, well. I don't care.
Number one, I'll start with a very easy one that you will be excited about, Raylene, and that you already know about because I texted you. The Chaos Walking trailer came out.
Oh, yes, it's so cool.
So I don't really care about Chaos Walking insofar as I haven't read the book, but I am excited to see the movie, and I'm more just excited that it's finally coming out because I know it's had so many delays. What was your opinion of the trailer?
I thought it looks really good.
Yeah.
Like, obviously this has happened before where we see a trailer and say, wow, amazing, and then the movie's bad. So, like, I'm still trying to keep my expectations down. But, like you said, the way they did the noise was really cool. And I agreed with that. Like, it looked, they did, like, a cool effect.
Yeah.
Which kind of shows, like, the thoughts swirling around in the air. Because in the book, there are parts where it's just, like, you know, scrawled letters kind of overlapping over each other. And it looks really cool, like, visually.
Yeah.
So I was like, how are they going to do that in a movie format? Like, it's such a bizarre concept. But it looks really cool. And I'm excited about it. I love that Nick Jonas is in it. That's so it surprises me every time I remember it. But I think it'll be good. And Mads Mikkelsen as the mayor, oh my God, like, he's gonna be really good. So I think
cool.
that the cast is stellar. Like, every single person in this movie is a star. So I can only imagine, like, the acting is gonna be great. I just hope it's written well, because that's the thing that could really bring it down.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree. Well, I'm glad that it's out, that it's pushing forward, that we've gotten some big news. Like, a trailer is obviously big news, and we're going to have to keep seeing how that evolves. All right, my next piece of news came from our inbox. So if you are ever interested in sending us something that isn't a request for a book recommendation, there's a button on our website where you can submit a little form. And, you know, people have sent us books they want us to read, or sometimes they send us book news and they're like, Raylene, Ariel, you need to know about this. So we got this one and I was shocked, Raylene, shocked to my core, in fact. We got this from our listener, Ronhild Lervik. Apologies if I'm pronouncing that name wrong. And the news is that there's another Animal Farm graphic novel coming out.
What?
What?
Have you looked into this? Does it look cool?
Yes. So it's illustrated by Chris Mold, a guy I have not heard of before, but is an illustrator. And all there really is to do with this information is a tweet from his Twitter. And he says, really pleased to be working on George Orwell's Animal Farm with @Faber Children's. So Faber and Faber is one of my favorite, if not my favorite publisher. So that's very exciting because they make beautiful books. But it's Faber Children's. So I'm wondering if this is...
Weird.
Is this a children's book version?
It must be.
And then there's a photo from his sketchbook, and you can see illustration style is very unique.
Yeah.
And honestly, though, reminds me a lot of, what's his name? Riddell.
Oh, dear. Oh.
Oh. We were thinking
Chris Riddell. Yeah, I thought you were just talking about the other graphic
novel. Oh, no, yeah. This really reminds me of Chris Riddell, who does all of Neil Gaiman's books and stuff.
Right. Yeah, it does have a similar style.
So that's very, very interesting, and I'm going to have to keep an eye out on that one, and I will be emailing Faber and Faber immediately and asking them if I can have it, please.
No kidding.
All right, so here's my next piece of news. Now we've got two. These were the ones I found on my own, and I've been, like, kind of following the last little while, and it's kind of, these are very intense, actually, really. The first one is a fact. It is a dark fact. It's a scary fact, and it's something we should all know about.
Okay.
According to the American Booksellers Association, more than one independent bookstore has closed each week since the pandemic began. And 20% of indie bookstores might not survive the year. Whoa. So,
that's a lot.
At the beginning of the pandemic, I made a video called, what exactly was it called? It was something like, how to help bookstores during the pandemic, or how coronavirus is affecting bookstores, something exactly like that. Yeah. And I was talking about, like, how does this affect bookshops and some of the reasons that people might not exactly be thinking about, like the fact that a lot of indies depend on just people walking around. Just like people. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you know this,
like,
more
tourism,
than I do.
Locals, that, yeah. Like, regulars that just come in and look around. Like, absolutely.
Yeah. That's huge. A huge part of, because they don't have the online infrastructure. And so many of them do now because they've been forced to do it because of the pandemic. But a lot of them, especially at the beginning, did not have an online infrastructure like Amazon does.
Yeah.
So, it's raining. I know it's raining, but I didn't hear it in my headphones, so everyone's probably going to get some raining ASMR on this
episode. Beautiful.
but it was something that, I made that video at the beginning, and ever since I've been trying to support, either independent bookshops I've bought a lot of books from, but also, just chapters, at least it's not at least it's not Amazon, right? But I kind of put it in the back of my mind, and then reading this fact was very sobering. I was like, yeah, this is not stopping or slowing down. So this is just a shout from us. I mean, we've always supported indie bookshops on here, but a shout to support your local indie, especially right now. It's December. You're probably going to be getting gift cards or giving gift cards or wanting to buy books for people, etc. Totally. It's such a good moment and opportunity to support the bookshop in your town. That's the one that's suffering the most. Not Indigo. They're going to be okay because they sell stuff that isn't books, right? Everyone knows how to go there. Yeah. People that are, like Christmas shopping and still going to the mall, they're going to drop into Indigo or Barnes and Nobles or whatever, wherever you are, Waterstones. But your indies need that help a lot more. So, yeah, I wanted to do that shout out. Now it's time for my last piece of news. This is really, this is the biggest one. I saved the biggest one for last. I don't know if you've heard about this, because I know you don't really spend as much time online anymore, which I kind of like, because it makes it perfect for when I do book news. I kind of get
I know nothing. Like, I wouldn't have known about Chaos Walking if it wasn't for you. And that's, like, kind of stupid.
Okay, so this is pretty crazy. Penguin Random House has purchased, or is about to imminently purchase, Simon & Schuster.
What?
Isn't that insane? So, historically...
What the hell?
I know, really. Historically, there has been this narrative, this story that we have in the literary world, that there are the big six publishers. Mm-hmm. And those are Random House, Penguin, HarperCollins, Simon & Schuster, Hachette, and Macmillan. Right?
Yeah.
Then a couple of years ago, Penguin bought Random House. And they became Penguin up Random House. Yes. And so it was now the big five. And now, they bought Simon. And so now it's the big four.
And oh my god. Are they going to change their name to Penguin Random House and Schuster?
Honestly, that's one of the things I'm most excited to find out myself. Like, what is that amalgamation name gonna look like?
Because they could very well still just be Penguin Random House. Like, I feel like that could be their new name, and like can suck everybody in and just keep that name. But who knows?
Yeah. So it'll be very interesting to see how that goes. But this has a lot of implications that I'm not gonna go into, because I've literally, when I heard this news, this was like a week or two ago, I read like so many articles about this, and there's so many different perspectives on like how this is going to impact publishing, how this is going to impact the book world, et cetera, et cetera. And so there's a lot of interesting implications, but here's the main one to keep in mind. This is just one estimate. So, obviously, more studies need to be done, et cetera, et cetera. But by one estimate, it might publish, this giant amalgamation, it might publish a third of all books that are published in the U.S. every year.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's from The Atlantic. That was one of my favorite articles on it. It was from The Atlantic, so I recommend everyone checks that one out. And then they go on to say, if it's correct to worry about a merged company that publishes about 33% of new books, then surely it's correct to worry more about the fact that Amazon now sells 49% of the books sold in the U.S. So again, it's like thinking about the context of these giant monopolies that are being created within publishing. One of the main things to kind of think about, and not like nobody should panic and be sad. Like, it's going to be okay. It's not like books are not being published or whatever. And there's going to be good benefits that come from this, I'm sure. But the main thing to worry about is that it's going to become a thing where they're going to be publishing more of the heavy hitters. It's going to be more general fiction, more popular fiction. And it just closes the door a little bit to more weird things and marginalized authors and strange books and more of that diversity. And I mean diversity both in who is being published and what is being published. Like, what kind of magical realism or something that you wouldn't expect. It just creates this kind of more of a block of monopoly. And it's interesting because I mentioned this to CJ, my brother who edits the podcast, and he was like, this is exactly what happened in music.
Oh.
All of the little labels got bought up, and he's like, there's basically only two labels now. It's so much harder for musicians that don't have like a lot of money or their family or whatever to get picked up. Because there's only really two giant labels, right? There's a lot to think about here. It's gonna be a developing story. We're just gonna have to see how it unfolds and what the effects are and stuff. But I do think it's a moment to kind of recognize, where are those books that you read from? Are they all from Penguin? Random House slash and Schuster? Schuster? Can you be finding, like we mentioned earlier, we mentioned Faber and Faber, an independent. Are there independents in your country or that publish great books that maybe you can be checking out? So mm-hmm. it's a moment, Raylene. It's a big moment in the history of publishing. And I thought I really wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Wow. Yeah. I had no idea.
Well, that's our book news. That's a lot. I'm very interested. I'm going to try, I don't know how yet, but I'm going to put some posts on the Instagram this week about the book news, because I'd love to hear people's thoughts on what's mm-hmm. going on here. I don't know what book I'll hold. Maybe I'll just like have a book open so it doesn't really matter what the book is, just a bookish picture.
We'll figure it out.
All right. Well, let's jump into your book haul, Raylene. I think I know one of the books you got. Let's start with that
one. You definitely do. I will start with that one. Actually, wow, I have 6 books. Holy shit. How did I do that? It's funny. I put them in this bag so that I would kind of forget about them.
Yeah.
And I did. So now I have this massive stack. Okay, so I'll start with the one that you know about because you sent it to me. And so this was the birthday book that Ariel sent me. I had no idea what the hell she was going to send me because she didn't ask me, like, what are some books you want, blah, blah, blah. She just sent me something. And that is The Last Unicorn by Peter S. Beagle. Very random. And I've heard of this book. I've heard about it a lot because it's one of those...
I'm excited that you've heard of it.
Yeah, like, I've heard of it, but I've never, like, thought to read it for some reason, which is funny because it's about a unicorn. And just a little background, when I was, like, in grade 3 or 4, I read this series called, oh crap, I don't even know what it was called exactly, but it's by Bruce Coville and it's about unicorns, and it's just like a whole series about unicorns and like what they do in their daily lives, and I loved it. So, but I've never read anything about unicorns since then, so it's funny that you picked this.
That's
for
so
me
funny.
Because I was obsessed with unicorns for that small moment in my life. And this is, like you explained to me, the way you found this was looking up like best fantasy books.
Yes.
And
yeah,
so this is like a very well-renowned like favorite of a lot of people, which I think is really exciting. And just looking at the back, I see that there's a unicorn who is joined by a bumbling magician named Smendrick. Which just makes me think this is going to be a great book. I'm like, is this going to be hilarious? Maybe not, but I feel like it's going to have good vibes.
I don't know. I could see it being kind of funny, like in a little bit of a Princess Bride way, a little like...
Yeah.
Silly.
I'm like, it could be Princess Bridey or it could be very serious, and that's just a weird coincidence that his name is strange and funny. So like, I don't know anything about this book. All I know is one of my friends read it and did not like it at all, but I always disagree with her opinions, so I have a feeling I'll like it. So yeah, I'm really excited. Like, I don't know anything about this book other than what I just told you from the back, so thank you for sending me this book. I love it.
I'm so glad that you love it.
That's a perfect gift, is when you give me something that, like, I didn't realize I wanted.
Yeah.
But now that I have it, I'm, like, happy that I have it.
Yes, exactly.
Speaking of which, just a little advance notice. I ordered some books for you, Ariel, for Christmas, and they're all kind of random. So
I am excited.
I'll have to give you the lowdown on why I picked them once you know what they are.
Okay, that's really cool. Yeah, so for your book, just as a slight background, I really wanted to get you a fantasy book because I love it when you read fantasy. And I feel like, you know, like when you have a partner, a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, a person that you love, and you like, when you see them doing the thing that they love and it makes you happy. I was like, I'm like that with you reading fantasy. I'm like, I just want her to be happy. So I was like, okay, I want her to get her a fantasy book, but one that's kind of off, like not one of the normal ones, you know, a little off track. But so I was like, I bet you there's a list and that's like best fantasy books that are like lesser known or something. But I just typed in best fantasy books to start, and this book came up, and it was about a unicorn, and it was like blurbed by Philip Roth, and it was short. And I was like, I literally, the whole search, I was prepared for an hour of research. I was like committed to a whole hour, and then it took like literally 2 minutes, and I was like, perfect.
And it happened so quick.
Yeah, it was so fast.
Yeah.
All right. What else did you get?
That's great. And you said Philip Roth, but I know you meant Patrick Rothfuss.
Oh, just God, for sorry. The record. Thank you.
Just so everybody knows. Yeah, Patrick Rothfuss, who wrote The Name of the Wind, which is my favorite fantasy book. So as soon as I saw that on the cover, I was like, oh, hell yeah. Like, that's just another reason for me to probably love it. Okay, so I'll try and zip through these other ones I got. So I got this book called The Vanishing Princess by Jenny Diski.
Ooh.
And it's this, I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's very random. It's short stories.
Oh.
But it was published as part of this series of short stories called The Art of Echo, the story, or The Art of the Story, and it's published by Echo. Mm. And it's the same little series of short stories that published the Unclean Jobs for Women and Girls, which I really loved, by Alyssa Nutting, which I talked about a while ago. So I was like looking at that collection and seeing, oh, what are some other kind of random like collections by women that I can get into, and this one popped up and it sounds just like so cool and so up my alley, and like similar to that other book but different apparently. So I don't really know much about the stories themselves, but I'm so goddamn excited for this because I love short stories, but I always forget to read them.
Yes.
Like, and I don't know. I just don't have as many collections as I would like. That's something that I would really like to get into more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this one's exciting. I got the first volume of Fangirl, the manga.
Wait, I didn't realize that was out now.
Yeah, it's been out for like a couple of months, I think. Maybe a month. I don't remember. It came out recently, but it's...
That was one of my book newses a couple months, maybe a year ago. I don't even know how long ago, but I was like, really? And there's a Fangirl...
I know.
Manga. Oh my god, that's so
crazy. I know.
Crazy.
So I super sneaky just bought it, and I've had it hidden away for a few weeks now because we haven't done a book haul in a while.
Whoa.
So yeah, I'm very excited. The art is so good. Like, I don't know if you've seen any of the art at all,
no,
but it is very
really.
Much like manga style. Like, it looks like it. I mean, it is a manga, so it makes sense, but like, it's just,
it looks amazing.
So beautiful. And I think that the story will translate really well. And I love it. I love it. Like, it's, I'm excited. I wonder when the volume 2 is going to come out, though. That's my only problem with reading new manga series is, like,
yeah.
You have to wait. Usually it's only 6 months if it's, like, a long ongoing series, but it's probably going to be longer for this because it's just new.
More traditional published. Yeah. And I
exactly.
wonder how many volumes are there?
Right? I don't know. Mm. I won't know until I've read it, but hopefully it's only, like, three. Then we won't have to wait too long. Okay, got a couple more books. So I also got The Master and Margarita by Mikhail Bulgakov.
Hey, you got the same copy I have.
Yeah, or
it's
Bulgakov.
So beautiful. Yeah,
so it's the, I think it's, 50th anniversary edition, the Penguin Classics Deluxe Edition. I really, like, I've been just trying to find a used copy of this. I've been waiting, just hoping that it would cross my path, but it hasn't. So I ordered this on my birthday. I was like, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. Because this is a cat book. It's a classic.
Yeah.
And it's Russian, which is something I've, like, it's just a collision of a bunch of things I either been wanting to read more of or have been trying to collect, you know, cat books. So I'm really excited about that one. One of my friends is reading it right now, and she told me it's, like, really brutal. So I'm kind of, like, scared to read it now because I didn't really know much about it. But apparently it's really dark, and which is good because I like that kind of stuff, but I'm also kind of scared. So that's super fun. The opposite of that, something else that I got, is called Cat's Cafe by Matt Tarpley.
It's so cute.
So this one is a collection of comics, and basically it's just about this, like, a bunch of different animals that go to this cafe that's run by a cat. It's just lots of, like, single page little comics. And I'm just showing Ariel the art.
It's so cute.
It's very cute. It's full color. It looks kind of childish. So I have a feeling it's kind of like an all ages kind of comic, which is fine. Like, super exciting. So I'm really excited to read this. I think I'll probably read that soon because it looks like it'll be a quick read. And then
could have a really funny Instagram for our Instagram where you have the Margarita book and the little Cat's Cafe book in the same shot.
That's true.
They're like so different. Opposite aesthetic, but they're both cat books.
Yeah, they're both cat books. That's what I'm saying. My cat book collection is, like, just off the rails. I have so many weird things in there that don't all seem like they would go together, but they do, through the theme of being cat books. And then the last book I got, I actually told you about this a little while ago. I don't know if you remember. It's called Nothing Much Happens by Catherine Nicolai. It's this pretty book.
Whoa, it's beautiful.
And this is actually, it's based on a podcast, which I had never heard of until I saw this book. It's basically a collection of, actually, it's another short story collection. They're calming and cozy stories to help soothe you to sleep.
Right, you told me about this. Yeah.
Yeah, so... I haven't read any of them yet, but there's, like, just, it says on the back, some examples of the stories are sneaking lilacs from an abandoned farm in the spring, watching fireflies from the deck in the summer, visiting the local cider mill in the autumn, watching the tree lighting in the park with friends in the winter. So it's, like, kind of just glimpses into, I think, right. like, everyday things, but just told in a really calm, soothing kind of way. And there's, like, a whole bunch of stories. Some of them are, you know, like, most of them are 3 or 4 pages, so they're pretty short. So it's just, you know, you can read 1 or 2 of them before you fall asleep if you need help lulling yourself to sleep, which sometimes I do.
Not to sound like I'm starting an essay here, which is a constant fear in my life, but I think that the theme of that book is really, really interesting in that you are putting complete trust in an author and going into it expecting that there is going to be no drama, conflict, horror, sadness, depression right before you go to sleep. Like, no other book makes you that promise. Do you know what I mean? Like, no other book that you're reading, like, you could be reading what you think is a very cheerful book right before bed, but if something, like, the main character dies or whatever, like, something bad happens, it's not the book's fault. It's like, you're just like, yeah, okay, that's what happened with the book. But this book is making you the promise that all of these stories you are going to find soothing and calming. So you're supposed to go into it, reading it, and just trusting the author and being like, nothing bad is going to happen. I wonder if that's so interesting. I don't know why I find that so intriguing.
Well, and the other fun thing, like I said, it's based on a podcast, so you can experience some of, like, there are extra stories in this book that aren't on the podcast. But it's, as far as I can tell, like, I haven't listened to it. It's I assume the host or hosts just reading these stories to you. So that's also kind of a nice way to lull yourself to sleep would be, like, just listening to the podcast. So that's also an option for people who, you know, aren't willing to just trust the author completely that they've never heard of and buy this book like I did.
But
it's also a very cute little book. Like, it's got pictures in it too, so just saying, it's pretty nice. There's also tips, apparently. I'm just scrolling through. Ariel, look at this picture. Look how pretty.
Oh, that's so gorgeous. It's a picture of an archway inside of a house looking through to a lot of bookshelves in a bright windowed room. It's gorgeous
just
illustration.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
That's basically what I want my house to look like.
Exactly. So yeah, this is the book that I think I might keep next to my bed and just read it periodically, you know, just until I'm done. I might just read a story a night. That's a nice thing to think about, but it probably won't happen. That's okay.
Yeah, I had a collection of poems. Yes, it was, I think it was called A Poem for Every Night of the Year. Hmm. And it literally had, like, January 1st and then a poem, January 2nd. And they were sort of themed, like, the week of Valentine's, they were more romantic and, like, stuff like that. I think I did it for, like, 4 days, and then I, like, fell off, and then I was like, wait, do I go back and catch up, or do I just read today's? And then it fell apart.
Yeah. It's no way to live.
Well, this has been a very fun episode. We jam-packed a lot in there, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much to all of our patrons who support the podcast and to everyone who has checked out our merch, which is one of the best ways to support the podcast. If you like the show, if you like what we're doing here, consider checking out our Patreon or our merch. Both you can check out at booksunboundpodcast.com. We are about to go and record our Patreon mini podcast that we release every week, Books Unbucket. And this week, our question is, are there any books or series that you missed out on during the height of their popularity that you're interested in, that you're still interested in giving a try? That's a question from our Discord. That is also for our patrons. So we're going to go answer that right now. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.